Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Carson Anderson program here on 97.1. Well, just so people know, Mark Ryan is in for Doug Karsh today.
There must be some mistake.
Well, I mean, what happened, Doug is a closet professional wrestling fan. And when I informed him last night that the AEW World Championship was going to be fought for last night between champion Maxwell Jacob Friedman, MJF, taking on Kenny Omega. And it was a huge match because if Kenny Omega lost, he would never be allowed to challenge again for the AEW championship. And MJF has already won one of those matches against Hangman Adam Page. Adam Page is never allowed to wrestle for the AEW World Championship. Never again. So Kenny could have lost. Kenny dug deep last night, and spoiler alert, but it happened last night all over Twitterverse. You got to know. So Kenny won, and Doug said, I mentioned last night about the match last night, and Doug said, well, you'll know how I feel based on, I said, you're going to be able to make an in tomorrow. He goes, you'll know how I feel based on what happens. So obviously Doug is upset because must be a true closet and no longer closet. Now he's just flat out in the open. Doug is a massive MJF fan.
He's salt of the earth.
Well, you know, you just said he's a pro wrestling fan. Well, we've all got something.
Yeah. I mean, I am too. But apparently this bothered Doug enough where Doug is not in today. And I don't think Doug's in tomorrow. I don't think he's in a Monday. I think he just left. He said, screw it, I'm out. And it's because of what happened last night.
So yeah, this one hit him real hard.
It did. It really did. Below the belt, which is what MJF tried to do last night to Kenny Omega. But Kenny Omega was able to fight back from that and still win the match. So I guess we'll see Doug on Tuesday. And, you know, good for him, I guess. But he's pissed.
Yeah, he's in his feelings right now.
I never expected him to be an MJF fan. I don't think you're a wrestling fan.
You are speaking a totally foreign language to me right
Bobby,
now.
Bobby, you're not much of a person. But Paul no. is. Paul is. Paul, you know who MJF is, right?
Absolutely, I know.
Okay. Yep. I mean, does it surprise you that Doug is a massive MJF fan?
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, that's just not Doug's personality at all.
I think he's going to be rooting for Ospreay now, right? Because Kenny took out his guy.
100%. 100% when those two battle in Wembley Stadium later this summer. I'm amazed that Doug would hitch his wagon to someone who considers himself as the devil. Nobody's on the level of the devil like MJF, and yet that's where Doug is.
Doug right now is plotting his revenge against you for doing this.
This show is split pretty 50-50 right now. There's you two, and then there's me and Mark, who have no idea what you're talking about.
Less than no interest.
You guys a fan of Burberry scarves?
Oh, well, you know as well. You know what's on your...
Are you? I mean, that's an honest question. Are you a fan of a Burberry scarf?
Come on. Yes, hamburgers and hot dogs for 4th of July, not filet mignon.
I'm just asking if you're... It's a fair question. Are you a fan of a Burberry scarf?
Don't own one. Don't know what it is.
Okay. It's just a scarf. It's
so if you don't like wrestling, you're bougie? Is that where you're going with this?
That's not it at all. That's MJF wears a Burberry scarf when he comes to the ring.
I think Karsh does kebabs for the 4th of July. I don't think anyone that does kebabs knows what the hell is going on with your AEW, BMW, WWF. No idea.
I'm going to pretty much guarantee Doug does not do kebabs for 4th of July. He will grill chicken without question. but there will be no kebab. Anyway, so I guess Doug will be back next week. Spoiler alert. But there is news that we just had to start the show, and that is the report. I want to make sure that I have this properly. I believe it was from Ansar Khan from MLive. Did he just say, is that what he said during the update? I want to make sure I have this, although I don't see Ansar Khan with a post on Twitter to substantiate this. But that Dylan Larkin apparently has expanded his list of teams that he would go to.
Which is interesting because the feeling was, well, if he only has three teams that he'd rather go to, that must mean the Red Wings are in fourth place for the teams that he'd want to play for. That was some of the emotion riding on that, totally false. Now he is so determined to get out of Dodge that he's adding teams to his list. And I maintain, Gator, that that was always the Red Wings' fault. That if, you know, he has the stipulation in a couple of years where he's got to have 10 teams that he gives them, but it's not his fault that that stipulation wasn't there prior to now. So now the report is that he is extending his list of teams, extending his list of teams that he would consider moving on to. And to be honest, I might be one of the few guys in this city that has no ill will, that is not acting like a scorned lover here, that understands completely and totally why Dylan Larkin is doing what he's doing. You know, we've got a situation with Jalen Duren where he doesn't like the money. Dylan Larkin has the money, wants to win. We've lost touch with, are there any athletes anymore that prioritize winning above and beyond everything else? Dylan Larkin's one of those.
So this is from Ansar Khan from a couple hours ago. It says, Dylan Larkin has expanded his list of teams. He will waive his no trade clause to join, but it's not by much, and it's probably not going to get him any closer to being dealt by Steve Yzerman. Larkin recently added the Dallas Stars to his original list that includes only Florida, Minnesota, and Vegas. The Red Wings had talks with the Stars and, according to league sources, asked for young center Wyatt Johnston in return. Doesn't hurt to ask, but there was no chance of that happening. Johnston is 7 years younger than Larkin, coming off a 45-goal, 86-point season, and hasn't missed a game in four NHL seasons. Incidentally, the Stars selected Johnston 23rd in the 2021 draft after trading down from 15 with the Red Wings, who took Sebastian Kosa. So interesting there that the list of teams is expanded to is Dallas. That's the team. Now, Dallas is trying to figure out whether or not they're going to hang on to Jason Robertson, who's a restricted free agent. And after seeing other players get signed to offer sheets, there is a concern there. If you're Dallas, you probably either you sign him or you trade him before you lose him to an offer sheet. Then you get compensation, but it would be four first-round picks as compensation. And if I were the Red Wings, I'd give up four first-round picks in a heartbeat to sign Jason Robertson. But Robertson's going to cost you money. He's going to cost you somewhere in the neighborhood of $14 million and maybe more now that we've seen Leo Carlson get his offer sheet at $18 million a season to lead all NHL players. A lot of moving parts here, and yet are they really moving because, you know, the Red Wings haven't been able to come up with a deal yet.
But I think Dallas immediately goes to the top of the list then, right?
Dallas has, they've got some things, right? They've got some pieces. And if you're somehow able to work a sign and trade with Jason Robertson, and then it allows the Red Wings to sign him to an extension that makes it worthwhile, that's a win. Now, I'm guessing the Red Wings have to give up a little bit more in return. If it's just player for player, okay, there's no question Jason Robertson's the better player offensively. Puts up more points, scores more goals. However, Larkin's value is as a two-way player.
Sure.
Probably a little bit more so than what Robertson is. Because Robertson's nowhere near defensively as gifted as Larkin is. And Larkin puts up his fair share of points, a point-a-game kind of guy. However, it's something special with Robertson. He's had a 100-point season in his career. He's had multiple 40-goal seasons in his career. Larkin hasn't scored more than, I don't know what it is, 36 goals in a year. He hasn't hit 40 yet. But the value of Dylan Larkin is within his contract. He is signed for five more years at under $9 million a season.
Which is incredible.
As a cap hit. Not only that, the team that would take on Dylan Larkin, that's the cap hit. The actual money is considerably less because the contract was front-loaded for Dylan. So now you don't have, I think you have roughly $35 million left on the deal or something like that, $35 to $38 million, something like that. It's less than what his cap hit is because the deal was front loaded. So it makes it even more valuable because you're getting a player in this day and age right now where contracts are going crazy. Quinn Hughes is rumored to get an $18 million a year extension with Minnesota, right? You've got players signing contract extensions all over the place. Dylan Larkin is an absolute bargain at under nine, which is another reason why this situation really bothers me that he asked to get out, because now that teams are opening up the pocketbooks more because the cap is expanded, it's just screams like this is a golden opportunity for this team to really add. And right now they still have a lot of money under the cap, even after they've added Arvidsson and the goaltender and then Kolasar as well. They still have a lot of money. And Larkin's part of it. He's already accounted for. So, like, the Red Wings could still make some big move, a big trade, where they give up a bunch of draft capital, future draft capital, to get a star if they wanted to. And it would have Dylan Larkin. But Larkin asked for the trade, and now he's poisoned.
Okay, so a couple jumping off points here. Robertson, where's he from? Do you know?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Robertson, where's he from?
Well, he spent time in Michigan for years, yeah.
Northville, Michigan is from here. So that immediately gives you the ding, ding, ding. Number two. What was Yzerman's big problem with the offers that were made? You're getting young guys. You're getting minor leaguers.
Futures.
You're getting futures. Yeah. And he needs to win now. Everyone knows that he's got to get over this playoff bugaboo immediately. This trade, more than anything else, achieves that. My personal philosophy, Gator, is if I'm trading a Dylan Larkin, I'm getting the best player in the deal. Now, you know as well as I do, all the offers made, that option wasn't available.
No, because Minnesota's not offering Boldy, sure. And other teams aren't offering the players that they want. If it's Dallas, Dallas doesn't want to give up Wyatt Johnston. You can understand why teams wouldn't want to do that. They want to add Dylan Larkin to the mix, not subtract by doing something
Get them closer to getting over the hump. But Jason Robertson, if in fact he is available, that becomes the no-brainer move that you make, in my opinion, for Larkin. Far beyond any of these other futures assessments.
The problem is Jason Robertson, I believe, also has his no movement clause. And there are mixed reports, but reports early on where he wanted nothing to do with the Detroit Red Wings, despite him spending lots of time in Northville and claiming it at home.
It seems to be a common theme, people not wanting having anything to do with the Red Wings.
I mean, maybe, maybe not, but this is what it seems right now. And, you know, it's losing does that to you. You know, and when you've lost for 10 years, it's tough. And, you know, some people want to be part of a rebuild and some people don't. And, you know, what does this say about Steve Yzerman? What does it say about the Red Wings organization right now? I mean, they have their captain literally asked for a trade. And I don't know if players are happy about that or players are pissed about it, because the other strange thing is that nobody has said a freaking word about it. But 248-539-9797, same number to text if you'd like to text us as well. The news this morning that Dylan Larkin has expanded that list of teams. Now there's at least one more team, and it's the Dallas Stars. Does that move the needle at all for you? Do you think that Yzerman can get something done? We'll talk about it with you next here on 97.1. Back to 97.1, the ticket. Gator, along with Mark Ryan, is in for Doug Karsh today. We take your calls and texts, as always, at 248-539-9797. Discussing the article from this morning in on MLive.com, Ansar Khan, who covers the Detroit Red Wings and has been doing it forever, is a great, great follow, talking about Dylan Larkin has reportedly expanded his list of teams. It's not a huge expansion. He says it's by one, and that team is the Dallas Stars. And interesting that it is Dallas. Although not terribly surprising either. Dallas is a pretty good hockey team, and you think that if you're Dylan Larkin, you want to go to a winner if you've been losing for 10 straight years. So I get it. But it at least it's another team to start talking about and start talking with. And it's a team that has a player that they're not sure they're able to hang on to in Jason Robertson, who is a restricted free agent. And this would seemingly make all the sense in the world to find a way to get a deal done with the Stars for Jason Robertson. It might cost the Red Wings more. The Red Wings might want more. So the Red Wings might have to, maybe they put forth a prospect as well, and maybe they get a draft pick out of Dallas in addition to it. But I think there's a way to make something happen, at least with Dallas centered around Jason Robertson. The question is Dallas willing to do that? Or does Dallas have every design in the world to re-sign Jason Robertson? If they can't do it, then they should consider it.
Can I be Jason Robertson here?
Yeah.
Can I be dug in on my position that I don't want to go to Detroit? And can you play the role of Steve Yzerman? Now, normally, Gator, you and I do not role play, okay? But today, you and I can, all right? Yeah.
You're making quite an assumption.
Yeah,
there,
yeah, baby, yeah. So, so Gator, you know, normally reserved for my wife, but today you get to role play with me. Can you convince me as Jason Robertson to come to Detroit? What is your selling point if you're Iserman, if that's what needs to happen here? Because that very well could be what needs to happen here. You mentioned he has the no trade. Jason Robertson does. Obviously, he is the best current player available that is being linked to the Red Wings in any potential Dylan Larkin deal. But if you need to convince me to be on board with you, what are you saying to me?
I would say that obviously him knowing what it's like here knows that the fan base is incredibly rabid and that this town loves a winner and this team, this city desperately wants to have the Red Wings get back into the postseason and start another great streak and start competing for Stanley Cups. And that he would be the absolute centerpiece on a team that can make that happen. He's coming off a 96-point season. He's a couple years removed from a 109-point season.
Five in a row, 79 yeah. points or more.
Sandwiched in between a couple of 80-point seasons he's had there. He scored 40 goals or more three times in his career. I would be, you know, absolutely inflating his ego, telling him how great he is and how well he would fit in with this team. He's what they need. He's a consistent scorer. We've got some younger players that we're breaking in that we expect to start hitting their stride moving forward. We have young goaltending that we feel is going to be taking over this team in the next couple of years that could really provide something great.
But you've sucked for 10 years.
We haven't sucked. We've sucked in March. We've sucked in March.
When
for
does
the last
it matter,
several,
Steve?
Well, it
Steve,
matters.
When does it matter?
Because we haven't had the player like you that can help us get over that hump. We've added some things that we thought were quite necessary to this team after doing an assessment after the year. We weren't tough enough. So we've gone out and we've gotten Arvidsson, who is much tougher in front of the net. He's a guy who scores in 5-on-5. We needed to get tougher, period, as a team. We added Kolesar to the mix. Kolesar is a tough-as-nails type player. He hits a ton. He hits everything that moves on the ice. He's going to make our bottom six more formidable. He's going to help create more space and more opportunities. And like I said, we've got some younger players that we really expect to take a leap forward. We have Emmett Finney on this team, who as a rookie had over 30 points this past season and was expected to by the calculations and permutations of the world of analytics, say that he was supposed to be a 20-goal scorer last year, but that didn't work out. But 30 points nonetheless, that's pretty good in his first year. Meanwhile, Maverick Bork, who everybody was raving about in his third season, finally put up a 40-point season. This kid's a rookie. He was 21 years old. Younger and already off to a better start. We've got guys that can help make this work.
Now I will tell you this. We can or cannot continue the role play, the charade, but I'm also...
I'd rather not. Because I think it's a tough sell.
Right. It is a tough sell.
But I do think, honestly, and I mean this all sincerity, this team right now, if this Larkin situation never cropped up, like if we had never heard that he had asked out for a trade, the additions that they've made to this team, coupled with what I expect some guys to definitely take a step forward, and I think them taking a step forward also forces some other guys to get out of the lineup, I think this team is absolutely a contender for a playoff spot right now. Robertson's a better player offensively than Larkin is. I think if they were to add Robertson to the mix, I think this is a team that will...
Well, this team was 21st in scoring mm-hmm. last year. So what the other thing I need to know is about Quinn Hughes, if I'm Robertson. Okay, so how serious are you about putting together a star-studded lineup? The whole problem with Dylan Larkin was not that you had Dylan Larkin, is that you didn't have more players of that caliber. So, you know, what happened with Quinn Hughes? Why wouldn't you take the risk that Minnesota did with Quinn Hughes? And how can I be assured that you are serious about increasing the talent level on this team, right?
Well, what you're going to find out, the reason that they were probably really reluctant about Quinn Hughes is because they couldn't get him to agree to an extension
Correct.
With the team, and that's kind of what helped, you know, topple things. There were other rumors that said that Minnesota, in addition to everything that was asked for in the package, that they wanted Simon Edvinson, and the Red Wings didn't want to part with Edvinson is one report. The other one is that they didn't want to take on a player that's just a rental. They wanted to make sure that he was going to sign an extension. Now the word is that he's going to get an $18 million a year contract. And this is why it really bothers me, this whole situation now. Because let's say you were to trade for Robertson. I don't know if there's room on your roster to sign Robertson long term, and then go after someone in next year's offseason, which appears to be an outstanding crop of unrestricted free agents, guys are going to get paid $15 to $20 million a year. I don't know if they can afford all that. Not only that, the Red Wings have an Edvinson issue right now. He's a restricted free agent. He's ready to cash in. He's going to cash in on a contract that's going to make him probably the highest paid player on his team, barring a trade for Robertson or a player of that ilk. If they don't trade for a Robertson or a player of that ilk, and they just trade Larkin for futures, it's quite likely that Simon Edvinson becomes the highest paid player on the team because it's just his time in line with the contract. They got Raymond and Sider done a couple of years ago, right before the season began in late September of 2024. And those deals are bargains, just like Larkin's deal is a bargain. There was a reason Steve Eisen was setting all this up. They had bargain deals so that you can get into a situation like this offseason and perhaps make a pitch. If Larkin had never opened up his mouth to Steve Yzerman about wanting to get traded, right? If he had just kept his mouth closed, and then you had this Werenski situation come out in Columbus where it was known that he had perhaps let the team know that doesn't really plan on extending his contract a year from now when he becomes a free agent, could the Red Wings have gotten a deal done to land Zach Werenski? And then you would have Zach Werenski playing with Dylan Larkin here? Like, that could have been a real possibility.
But I also
he said he wanted out.
Yeah, but you can't blame him for that, Doug.
I'm Scott, but it's all right. we'll get into the blame game on this or not, because I just the thing that I find really strange about this whole situation, one of the things I find strange about the whole situation, is that nobody has said anything on the record. The only one who's had a chance to speak, or who not had a chance, because obviously you have a chance every day to speak, the only one who has spoken is Yzerman, and he had to because he was at the draft and he had to address the elephant in the room, and he did so, and I think he did so accordingly, and said, look, he signed for 5 more years. We're going to try to, we'll try to move him. We're not going to trade him just for the sake of trading him. We're going to make a trade that's going to benefit the Red Wings, and that may not appear, and if it doesn't appear, well, he'll be in training camp. 248-539-9797. This is 97. Oh, interesting this morning. I have somewhat tongue-in-cheek called the list of teams that Dylan Larkin has sent to Steve Yzerman as his precious list because it's only three teams. Now he's reportedly expanded it to 4 teams to include Dallas as well, in addition to Vegas, Florida, and Minnesota. This is according to Ansar Khan of MLive.com. So whether this is true or not, I think it is true. I think when the report came out earlier in the week from Helene St. James, it said that he hadn't expanded his list yet. I think everybody was kind of surprised by that, that how could he this be going on weeks like it has, and he leaves it to 3 teams that seemingly are out. They can't come up with deals. Now here comes the 4th team. It's Dallas. It's interesting. And for Dallas to make it work, they have some pieces that can make it work. But the only way I think it can work, Mark, is if they realize that they're not going to sign Jason Robertson.
Correct. And my belief is for this even to come out, I think what yard line were they at already speaking to Dallas, right? Were they at the 50, the 40, right? The 30, so on and so forth. Because I think the way this went down, my hunch is, hey, look, we've had some good talks with Dallas. Would you consider them? We're making some progress with Dallas. We think you have some wiggle room there. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? I think there were already talks going on with Dallas, and I think already progress has been made here. So the fact that this is now out today, I believe that this immediately vaults to the very top of the likelihood list of where he's going to wind up. And Dylan Larkin just had to come to the realization that he'd rather be in Dallas than here.
Well, I mean, Dylan Larkin clearly doesn't want to be here. That's why his agent informed Steve Yzerman shortly after the season he doesn't want to be here. And I think that the real tragedy of this whole thing is that the story got out. If the story hadn't gotten out, it would have just been a trade at some point during the summer. We'd all go, wow, we just had a blockbuster. There goes Dylan Larkin. Interesting. Different direction for the Red Wings. But instead, now it's almost like, you know, poisoning the well here, because then everybody's left to speculate because Dylan hasn't said anything. His teammates haven't said anything. where now it's, oh, he wants out, and everybody's left to speculate as to why he wants out. The assumption is that he's tired of the losing, which wouldn't surprise me in the least. But I don't know if that's what happened. I don't know if there was a discussion after the season, if Yzerman said to him, yeah, you know what, Dylan, we're going to take the C away from you because we want to give it to Mo Sider and want to get a fresh approach.
What do you think is most likely? What most likely took place?
I think it's a combination of things. Okay. I really think it's quite possible that, there's no question there was a little bit of frustration on both sides with Dylan Larkin a couple of years ago when he said after the trade deadline or after the season that, you know, really wish we would have gone for a little bit and bought a little bit. And the reality was that, sure, that would have been great, but it would have been even better if players had played, you know, at the end of the season there. Instead, everybody kind of went in a tank there, and they had this nosedive, which they've had now for three or four straight years in March. And then Yzerman had to address it in the offseason and kind of put it right back at Larkin and basically said, well, you know, players have to play. And I thought that maybe going into last year, that was going to be, there was like a little bit of come to Jesus moment between Larkin and Yzerman, but clearly that relationship has been damaged. And to the point where, you know, Larkin is asked to be out of the town.
My hunch is that the trade request was made months perhaps before it came out. And he wasn't liking what he was hearing from Yzerman. Not going to move you, right? So then what happens? You're not going to move me? We're going to have to float this. So I know you hate when and how it came out because of how it affects future plans, but my hunch is they may have kept this under wraps. And Yzerman dug his heels in, and they have a trump card they can play so that Yzerman can't dig his heels in anymore.
Well, the reason I would push back on that scenario is that you're saying that would have happened, that Dylan asked out before. If you're saying months before, then Dylan's asking out around the trade deadline as opposed to waiting for the season to end and seeing how this thing goes. Red Wings, if you recall, were playing pretty good hockey, a couple weeks prior to the trade deadline. They were playing really good hockey. Then things started to go south. Trade deadline comes. They acquired Justin Falk, but nothing else. And that was disappointing because there wasn't any offense added to it. It was just adding blue line help. And, you know, I think Falk's going to be fine, but it wasn't a big splash move like going out and getting a big forward like, say, a Robertson. So I'll take Steve at his word when he says that he was informed shortly after the season that Larkin wanted to be traded. But the fact is that he did ask for it. And that's the part that sucks. And I think I've said this several times with Joe Shad, the NFL writer, had a brilliant tweet about this a couple weeks ago when it came to all these players that have the no trade clauses and they're asking to be traded. And his thought was, if you have a no trade clause and you ask for a trade, you should relinquish your no trade clause because you're the one asking to get out. You know, we know why they have them. Players want the no trade clause because they don't want to be out of the blue being traded to Siberia. They don't want that to happen. They want control of that. And I totally get that. But if you're the one that's asking to get out, should you have to relinquish a no trade clause? I think it's a really interesting topic of conversation. And as Doug and I pointed out yesterday, in a court of law, you're going to lose it. You know, but in the world of sports, is it something that really kind of should be considered? Nonetheless, this is where they're at. And I think they would be in a much better position if it didn't get out that he wanted to be traded. Much like Matthew Stafford, when he wanted out of Detroit, he didn't leak it out to the press beforehand. It was all of a sudden one day where like, I'm sorry, Matthew Stafford was just traded for two first-round picks and Jared Goff? What just happened? Which is way better than hearing the well being poisoned, first of all, where the guy wants out.
But when he tells Yzerman shortly after the season, that's months ago now, right? That's in April. When he tells him shortly after the season, doesn't like the feedback he's getting back, the agent doesn't like it, I'm not going to move you, then they have no choice but to come out and to leak it publicly, right?
No, you've always got a choice. And that got leaked out a week before the draft, 2 weeks before the draft?
By the agent of...
Well, whoever. We don't know right. Who leaked it out. I guarantee it wasn't Steve Yzerman.
Sure.
You know, because he keeps everything tight. Nobody knows what he's going to do. His inner circle doesn't know what he's going to do.
Right, but it was leaked and it created a storm for Yzerman, and I think it likely happened because Yzerman was, I'm not going to trade you. You got to give me teams. I'm not going to trade you.
Yeah, well, they're at a stalemate right now because the original list of three teams was, kind of ridiculous. I maintain that Florida could make a deal if they wanted to, but it would cost them Anton Lundell, a young forward. But if I'm Florida, I would do that trade 10 times out of
10. 100%.
Because Larkin's better than Lundell. Now, you'd have to give up more than Lundell. You have to give up some other pieces, whether it's future trade capital or maybe, or draft capital, I should say, or a couple prospects in addition to Lundell to make it worth the Red Wings' while of doing that trade. But it doesn't seem like they're going to do that. And I know everybody's saying, well, they wouldn't trade Lundell for Brady Tkachuk. You're right. They play two different positions. So would you trade him for, now that you've already got Brady Tkachuk, would you trade him for Dylan Larkin? I would. They play the same position. Larkin's better.
And you and I are in agreement that this potential haul, a package centered around Jason Robertson, far and away superior to anything else out there.
Well, yeah.
And if you want to win now.
And to facilitate the trade, you may have to give up a big prospect as well. Maybe you have to give up a Nate Danielson or a future first-round draft pick or something of that ilk to secure Jason Robertson because, you know, the big numbers out there of a 100-point season and 96 last year, the fact that he had 30 goals in 5-on-5 hockey last year, you know, those are pretty impressive numbers. So maybe you'd have to give up more. I don't know if you'd have to give up more or if it's an equitable trade. But now that Dallas is reportedly on this list, you're looking at the roster and saying, okay, then we'll go there. And, you know, what kind of prospects do they have? Is it worth to take to add something to the mix to get a prospect out of it too? And you would think that you'd want to. So it's something definitely to keep an eye on for sure. You have a point that you want to bring up regarding another team owner in another sport that has kind of laid out the plan of attack when it comes to holding people accountable as in a coaching position or a general manager position of what has to happen. We'll get to that coming up in 5 minutes here on 97.1. Karsh and Anderson here on 97.1. Mark Ryan is in for Doug Karsh. Doug's still devastated by the loss last night of Maxwell Jacob Friedman to Kenny Omega for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship. He's taking it hard and has informed me that he's not coming back until next week at some point. Don't know when. I mean, right now he's committed to being out through Monday. I think what he really wants to do is just get beyond the champ and chump of the week stuff. So that he doesn't have to address it again.
I'm trying to figure out in my mind how he's going to come back at you for this. Okay?
I mean, he knows. We talked about it yesterday on the air.
Yeah.
I said, you'll know. You'll know where I stand. Well, we know where he stands. Some text coming in. With all this time since Larkin asked to be traded, Stevie had plenty of time to smooth this over. Stevie seems to be very stubborn. Sometimes as an older person, you need to be the bigger person and make this right. Get rid of Stevie and Larkin, unnamed texter. Well, at this point, you're not getting rid of Steve Yzerman. They're clearly letting him operate as the general manager of this hockey team for the foreseeable future. So that's not going to happen. Larkin obviously is. We'll wait and see if he gets moved. I think he's going to get moved, but is it possible that he doesn't get moved? I think it's possible. I hold out hope that there is a way to smooth things over with Larkin. But I don't think you can smooth things over with Larkin unless you're able to add a player to this team that he would be willing to stick around for. Unfortunately, that's a Quinn Hughes type. It's a Zach Werenski type.
A true impact player.
Well, not only a true impact player, but a player that he's friends with, right? Reportedly, he's best friends with Zach Werenski. So that's why when the Werenski stuff broke a couple weeks ago, or a week and a half ago, I was all excited about it, thinking, wait a minute, is this a potential branch to Dylan Larkin to get him to stick around if the Red Wings could put together a package of players and picks to Columbus to get Werenski? Because apparently Werenski had opportunities to go, I think, to Dallas, actually, and he rejected it. But would he have come to Detroit if he was able to talk to Dylan and say, hey, there's a trade offer from the Red Wings that I can come and play with you. Would you be willing to stick around? But perhaps that ship has sailed instead. Werenski did the right thing with Columbus management, and that is each release a statement about their commitment to each other, and we'll see where that goes. But I don't anticipate that Dylan Larkin's going to be playing in a Red Wing uniform, but there is a chance that he may have to start training camp there if they're not able to find a suitable trading partner, which gives the Red Wings what they expect. Now, you found something, I don't know if it was over the weekend that you heard this, but it's the owner of the Indianapolis Colts, and I want you to set things
up.
Yeah,
absolutely. So my beef here is we never hear anything from upper management ownership about where the bar is for this team and where the bar is for Eisman. What is the, please define for us what level of performance needs to be met for this regime to continue, right? Because we all know who's pressing the buttons. It's Eisman, Red Wings executive VP and general manager. Are there any stipulations? What is the standard of performance here? If that standard does exist, and this isn't a quote-unquote lifetime contract, as some have surmised, you are not privy to what that bar is, nor am I privy to what that bar is. And so after the Colts season, Carly Ursay-Gordon stepped up, spoke about her decision to bring back Shane Steichen, to bring back Chris Ballard, but she laid out specifically, very transparently, where the bar is and where they fell short. Here's what it sounded like. So where is that with the Red Wings? Where is the, this fell short of the standard? What is the standard? How come none of us know what the standard is?
I think it's interesting, and it's a fair question to ask. I think the obvious difference in a situation is that you had a change in ownership, right? Because the owner died, and then she takes over. It doesn't mean that Chris Ilitch shouldn't come out publicly and say something very similar. I think he could come out and say something very similar. Hey, you know what? We've had a lot of time here and things haven't gone in the direction we'd hoped as quickly as we'd hoped. Nobody knows that more than Steve. There's a lot of expectations for this team to take bigger steps forward, and we're hopeful that it happens. But and then this is it's after that. That's the part everybody wants to hear.
Right.
What comes next after
Correct.
That? After that statement, do you come out and say specifically we have to make the playoffs this upcoming season, or set the bar somewhere like there, right? We want to compete for Stanley Cups, but we know that it's a process that's going to take steps. But the first step is we have to make the playoffs. You can't win a Stanley Cup unless you're in the playoffs.
Of course.
And we haven't done that. And it's been a minute since we've been in the playoffs. This is crazy that you had a team that made the playoffs 25 straight years or whatever it was, and now it's like 10 straight years that they haven't.
And 7 with this regime.
Yes.
That hasn't. But
yeah, and look, for the first couple of years, I could give them a pass as to why they didn't. This team was gutted. They didn't have draft picks, and then they had no draft luck when it came to the lottery. They've never moved up in the draft. They've either stayed where they are or dropped back significantly. There's all that stuff, right? But in the meantime, other teams are finding players in the second and third rounds and later, and Red Wings haven't done a whole lot of that. And it's just been frustrating to see this team collapse every single March over the last 3 or 4 seasons. It's crazy that that's happened. But would it be better if Chris Ilitch came out and said something? I think it would help.
Oh, 100%, because
but I'm not sure if he's going to say what you want him to say.
That builds skin in the game by the fans. They feel as though they're a part of this. You're aware of where the bar is. Now, personally speaking, I would have made a change before last year. They didn't do that. So let me ask you this. Where do you think the bar is? Do you think they have to make the playoffs next year for this to continue?
I mean, for me personally, yes. Doug's already there. Doug would have moved on after the season. And I know that probably the vast majority of fans are saying the same thing. It wouldn't have surprised me. Like, if they had made a decision at the end of the year to move on from Yzerman, I wouldn't have been surprised, and I wouldn't have been upset. I would have been disappointed because, you know, as a fan, I was a huge Steve Yzerman fan, and I want him to succeed. I saw what he was able to build in Tampa, and we're hoping that was going to happen here, and it hasn't yet. Does it mean it won't? No, but the likelihood doesn't look as good. So, I mean, even a diehard like myself, I'm not an Yzerbot, but I'm a diehard fan. I can recognize things haven't gone well, and I'm a little surprised he was able to keep going again this year after another failure. But he's here for now. So will he be here again next year at this time? For me, it'd be awfully hard to say yes. Come on back if this team doesn't make the playoffs. I think they at least have to do that. But it's also a proof of concept. Give me a proof of concept.
Exactly.
That you've got this going in the right direction. I mean, I follow minor leagues in all the sports, right? I love specifically baseball and hockey, I guess. I love looking at prospects in the Tigers farm system, seeing where they're at. I love keeping track of what's going on in Grand Rapids, tracking the Red Wing prospects that are playing college hockey and elsewhere in the Western League and the Quebec Major Junior League, wherever they're playing, Swedish League. I like looking at all that stuff. I love it. And I think that there's some talent in this Red Wing pipeline, but we just haven't seen it yet. And last year, they were hoping that to inject a couple of younger players into the lineup, and boom, Nate Danielson gets hurt right away. Carter Mazur's hurt again, and you don't know, okay, these are two guys you're kind of counting on to be a part, and they're not there. And then Brandzik Nygaard, he gets off to a slow start, better off playing 18 minutes a game in Grand Rapids than playing here with the Wings and playing, you know, a couple of shifts or whatever. And Sandin Pellikka, hoping that he was going to hit the ground running or hit the ice skating, and it hasn't been the case. But will it be different a second year? I hope so. You got to make big growth from one year to the next if you're a rookie into your second year. So there's a lot of moving parts here for the Red Wings, but interesting nonetheless that it appears that another team has been added to the list in the Dallas Stars. We'll talk about it next with you here at 97.1.